cure or prevent any disease.
What a wild week it's been, my friends, as we head into the weekend. It includes Warren Jeffs getting life in jail for sex with two girls who were underage. Remember, he led that Zionist ranch in Texas, outside of San Angelo, Texas, and 10,000 people or more were following Warren Jeffs, and all kinds of very twisted tales were coming out of that ranch, so he was nailed for this one. Also, we saw wild swings in the market after the downgrading, thanks to Standard & Poor's. Negative news means negative results, rather, in Wall Street. So four 400-point swings. The latest was an upswing, however, of 400-plus points. That's what the Dow went up on Thursday. Speaking of going up, Apple, this is huge, shows you the importance of technology. Apple passed one of the oil giants, Exxon, as the most valuable U.S. company. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, swinging for the fences just like the rest of you across this great country, no doubt. And those who want to swing for the fences sometimes run for the offices, like the Republicans who are trying to block out Obama. Eight took the stage in Iowa, and there was a lot of back and forth between two with ties to Minnesota, the Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and also Tim Paul Lenti, who is the former governor of Minnesota. He really went after Bachmann, telling her that pretty much she didn't know what she was talking about. I'm sorry, but you exaggerate everything that you say. And, you know, so he hit pretty hard, and then she tried to hit ultimately back. And will any of these people that I just mentioned be the presidential nominee? I don't think so. Mitt Romney still looks to be the strongest. However, there is one guy who does really want it, Herman Cain. This is the guy who is known for being a pizza man, Little Caesars, and a very solid businessman, actually. And he says that's why he is qualified for the job of running the country.
I have the most problem-solving experience because of my over 40 years of being in business.
All right, 40 years of being in business, but Cain does make some good points. He's a talk show host, and he is a very successful businessman, but I think the timing is just off for him on that one. Be interesting to talk about the tickets. Would you see a Romney and a Bachmann? Would you see Perry and a Bachmann? Might be two alike there. You might have to have some extremes. Someone who's super conservative, someone who's a little bit more moderate. Jay in Kentucky, hello, welcome to the show. You're my leadoff man.
Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. You sound good.
Yeah, just finishing up my work day.
Cool.
Hey, I threw up a red flag when I heard that story about that 18-year-old getting arrested for peeing on the 11-year-old.
Yeah.
I think the father's going to end up suing that airline. First off, guy had eight drinks, basically didn't know where he was, but he is 18, which is under 21, and was served by a flight attendant.
Oh, I didn't even think of that angle. You're absolutely right. I thought, wow, how do they keep serving him eight drinks? You got to know he's getting loaded. But 18, how could you, don't they check IDs? He couldn't have looked that old.
Right, right.
Yeah, hey, so, I mean, if it's borderline, you got to check their IDs.
I see Rick Perry taking a nomination, and I'd love to see Herman Cain on the ticket with him. Wouldn't that be a strong ticket?
Yeah, I like Herman Cain, I do. And there's your business side. So if you put Perry, who definitely would have a lot of Tea Party support, would have support certainly from Texas, where that's a huge state, and in the South, I think, and probably in the North, too, there's plenty of people that would vote from the North. That would be an interesting ticket. You're right. That could be an interesting ticket. I wonder if that would float. And would Cain actually want to be the second? You know, it's sometimes it's humbling to be offered the position of the undercard when you ran for the office itself. So I don't know if he'd be willing to do that, but I kind of bet he would.
All right, Kate. Enjoy the show.
All right, thanks, Jay. You have a great weekend. So an interesting twist to that. He's right. The age thing is where they could really nail him. If I were the father, I don't care if he was 35 or he was 15. I mean, I would just go berserk. It's just awful. I mean, how do you... That's a tough thing. She's old enough to get what's going on and the humiliation and the... You know, the guy was drunk. That's the gist of it. But she's an 11-year-old girl. Anybody. I can't even imagine what that would be like if that happened to me and I'm sitting there on a plane. Because there's no way to... It's not like you're at some bar and it's dark and they're pumping the crappy old disco tunes and everybody's trashed or whatever crazy thing. And somehow you innocently got in the middle of this mix and anything could happen. So you get out of there. This isn't someone who's willing to participate in it. That's what's so awful about all of this. Ooh, terrible. All right. I said this at the top too. This is worth flushing out for a quick second. Apple passing Exxon as the most valuable country in the U.S. How about that? They're so close at this point when you look at the stock market. Apple stock is trading at 374 rather, and the stock gained almost 6%. So the iPhone, the iPad, all that stuff, their capitalization is about $347 billion. Ooh, that's huge chunk of change. Exxon, on the other hand, is 71.64. So the oil company gets a market cap of $348 billion as of the market's close. There were other big corporations that made the list too, Walmart, General Electric, and all of that. $347 billion, I said. $347 billion. Steve Jobs, he knows a good thing when he sees it, and he knows how to go after it hard, even if he's not feeling well. He tries to surround himself with really, really brilliant people, and I'd say he succeeded in that. Coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, you know, we do the movie reviews each and every week. So, in other words, you really get to hear some sound of whatever it is you might like to go and pay your $10 for the movie. However, there are some that might just be worth it. You know, when people are talking about the small screen versus the bigger screen, unless you have what my friends affectionately call tree vision, you have a giant tree, TV that is stuck in the tree somewhere outside, and you can just chill and watch whatever ball game or whatever it is you want to watch. A big, big difference there. There's some that could tempt me this week. There's some that could tempt me, and I'm going to give you the skinny on all of those when we get to our next segment. It's all about the movies. Because you know what? The movies, when people are struggling, it's the ultimate great escape. What did they do during the Depression when they wanted to shoot themselves? Instead, they went to the movies. So we're going to go to the movies next. You're on ATN. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Out. Planet of the Apes, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, we talked about that. Cowboys and Aliens, The Change-Up, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2. It's the end of that series. Supposedly horrible bosses, friends with benefits. I could go on. Now, as far as the new fare, because this, some of that stuff has been out for a couple of weeks, the new things, here's a big one. A lot of people are talking about this. There's some underground, what I call underground buzz for the movies. So here in America tonight, we're going to go for it, let you hear a little bit of these movies. Little Slither. Slither isn't really correct. Little Sliver. Sliver. I like the word sliver. Of a couple of these flicks. The first one up is 30 minutes or less. Sit back and enjoy.
What the hell? Been sitting there watching the whole time?
I cut the whole show.
Okay.
Really classy move there at the end, by the way.
Oh.
Have a beer. The alcohol should help wash the taste out of your mouth.
Woo! That was sick!
We're business partners.
What kind of business are you in?
Entrepreneurs.
You want to be a millionaire, Travis?
You got to start thinking like one. We force some idiot to rob a bank for us.
The trick.
Where do we get our dude?
We'll deliver anywhere in 30 minutes or less.
Last night, two guys in masks struck me and strapped a bomb to my chest. Now I have less than 9 hours to rob a bank.
Ring, ring.
Oh, look, the bear's calling. Hello, bear.
Wait, what do you mean you couldn't rob the bank?
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, I like that bear. I don't even know you.
Is that thing real? And if I don't give them their money in time, this thing is going to blow.
And your first thought was to come to a school filled with young children?
What do I do, Chet? What do I do?
I see the guys rob the bank. It's gonna be okay.
No, it's not gonna be okay. I'm gonna blow up.
Come on.
Oh,
get yourself together.
Guns. Mask.
You sure you all don't want to grab some condoms?
No. Why?
Because this is usually what men buy before they rape someone.
Oh,
we're not rapists. Us two, small fries.
It's going to be cash or credit for your rape kit.
It's a pity.
Remember in middle school when me and you worshipped the devil for like 2 weeks?
That was my best 2 weeks of my life.
What happened to you guys today?
Torch them.
Bank robbery, fools!
Take your gun out and toss it. Let me concentrate, okay? I do this for a living.
No, you don't. You get high and deliver pizzas. That's nothing like this situation. Whoa, that guy got messed up.
Oh, your weapons. Put your hands on your head. Guess what? You just brought a gun to a bomb fight, officer.
Ah, 30 minutes or less. You get it. A small town pizza delivery guy. Pretty mundane, boring old kind of life. Yeah. So suddenly, it gets pretty spicy because they do a kidnapping and then he's got to rob a bank and a slew of other things happen. So you can imagine, it's a short movie. 1 hour, 23 minutes. Jesse Eisenberg is in it. He's hilarious. Danny McBride is funny. I watch this guy all the time on his HBO show. Nick Swardson's on it. He's a pretty funny guy, too. And you know what's interesting? It was produced by Ben Stiller and Jerry Kramer and their buddy Stuart Kornfeld. It looks like it has a little bit of legs. Maybe it's one of those things that you see when it comes out on Redbox or Blockbuster or however you get your films. All right, how about Final Destination? There's a couple left. Final Destination 5 and The Help. We're going to go to The Help first. Check out The Help.
Sorry, I'm late.
We didn't ever think you'd leave, Ole Miss.
It does take 4 years, Jolene. I got a job today, writing for the Jackson Journal.
Great. You can write my obituary. Charlotte Phelan, dead. Her daughter, still single.
Made.
I reckon when you finish it, won't.
Thank you.
She look like the winning horse at the Kentucky Derby.
I have drafted the Home Health Sanitation Initiative.
The what?
A bill that requires every white home to have a separate bathroom for the help.
Maybe we should just build you a bathroom outside, Haley.
Minnie?
Hey, Evelyn.
Hey, Minnie.
These women raise white children. We love them, and they love us, but they can't even use the toilets in our houses.
Minnie, are you in there?
You are fired! You said to write about what disturbs me, particularly if it bothers no one else.
I'd like to write something from the point of view of the help.
I want to interview you.
No maid is ever going to tell you the truth. That's a hell of a risk to take in Jackson, Mississippi.
Courage! Isn't just about being brave. It's about overcoming fear and daring to do what is right for your fellow man.
What changed your mind?
God. And Miss Heavy Holbrook. Change your
thoughts and you change. I'm all help with your stories. We all are.
Y'all brought me into this, but I'm gonna finish it.
Have you lost your mind?
No, ma'am. But you about to.
It's quite scandalous. Sounds like Jackson, if you ask me.
You tell Evelyn, do I have plans for her?
You are godless, woman. We've gone done it now.
All right, this is the opposite of the last film, long, 2 hours, 17 minutes. The great Viola Davis is in it. She's a good actress. Bryce Dallas Howard is in it. That's Ron Howard's daughter. She's a good little actress, too. And this movie, you could tell what it was about. You got a 22-year-old who just comes home, graduates from Ole Miss, and, you know, she's looking around for a husband. Then there's this maid thing mixed in the middle of it. It looks like a lot of drama, and it's got DreamWorks written all over it. Could be, if not a good movie to go see, maybe a rental. Might score some points, maybe a chick flick. We move from that one to one I really want to see, Final Destination 5. Check it out.
I see that it's been quite a while since your first consultation. What made you decide to take the leap today?
A lot is going on in my life. I don't want to miss anything.
When we're done, you'll have perfect vision. Do you know what? My assistant's giving me an incomplete file. I'll be right back.
Hold on, you're leaving? Is that supposed to be happening?
Full style that bridge. The lucky few survive the disaster. And then one by one, death comes for them all.
Are you saying that we can't stop this?
There's an answer for everything.
Kill or be killed.
Nobody's safe. Oh
yeah, that has horror written all over it, doesn't it? I like that, those kind of movies. And if they're suspenseful enough, because it's a five, yeah, sometimes I won't go there. But this one looks pretty decent. So you have a bunch of coworkers that are on this corporate retreat. The bridge collapses, and the rest is pretty scary, right? Maybe. It's a movie that's in between. It's not too short, not too long, so maybe 2 hours at the theater. It'd be great for October when we get closer to Halloween. We're kicking the can down the road. Kick it with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Hey, welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and the nooks and crannies in between. How often do we talk about teenagers who fall through the cracks and how important that is for a better America? You know, we have been talking about this deficit, it seems like, forever, and not wanting to leave this for the future generations. But besides the deficit, what about the personal side of it? Where are we headed as a country? What are we doing to help teenagers to get them on the right path to success instead of just letting them, in some cases, be forgotten or slide into those cracks? I want to introduce you to somebody who's with an incredible organization, one that I was just turned on to, actually, and I've been looking around for places like this, for foundations, for nonprofits, for groups that are actually trying to work on this. And here's a great one. It's called the Success Foundation. And the Success Foundation is about that. It's about getting those teenagers, hooking them in, I guess inspiring them, lifting them up. You might have heard of them because Dalton Sherman made big headlines. The way this kid speaks, unbelievable. I mean, he's gotten all kinds of honors and all kinds of different things, different competitions. He's such a great speaker. But you might have caught him. He was on a couple of daytime talk shows, the Oprah Show and the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Also, he's on the NBC Today Show. And I know a lot of you guys, when you're getting ready, you watch that. So you might have remembered Dalton Sherman. We're going to let you hear him at the end of this interview, by the way, to kind of give you the idea of who he was, if you haven't heard him. Leah McCann joins us now, and she, of course, works with the Success Foundation. Leah, the Success Foundation, it is built around that, right? To try to do what you can to help these teenagers.
Correct. Basically, the idea behind the organization is that every teenager has the opportunity, or well, really every child has the opportunity within themselves to be successful. And we aim to help them find that by giving them the necessary tools and skills and education to make positive life choices.
Yeah, so how do you do that? What do you do? Who do you partner with? How do you get people involved?
Well, basically, we provide them with a book called Success for Teens. And it's a book that the student keeps. They work in it. They go through it. It comes with an audio version as well. And then we send it to the facilitator and allow them to kind of go through it themselves and give them guidelines on how to implement the program within their school.
Now, and it is through the schools. What have you found since the program started? What kind of feedback are you getting?
You know, it's really interesting that you ask that because, we're based here in Dallas, Texas, and we went to go visit a local school district. And basically they told us that the state mandated programs for, dealing with suicide and anti-bullying and harassment and things like that. So the state mandates these programs, but they don't fund them. So the teachers just kind of have to add one more thing to teach on the curriculum that they're already, trying to develop for themselves. So this is kind of how Success for Teens plays into the school districts around to help out with that.
Yeah. Are you finding that a lot of people are trying to jump on board? It seems like there's a built-in audience for this.
Yeah. Once people understand what we're doing and they go through and look at the book and the information that's within the book, it's really not just for teens. Adults can understand it, too. Sometimes we need refreshers on these kinds of things.
No kidding.
And we're finding a lot of interest and a lot of great feedback on the fact that the book is really changing children's lives. We have great testimonial stories online that just kind of show you that the kids really, they take this information to heart, and then they can do great things, just like Dalton.
Yeah, and a lot of this is positive reinforcement. The glass is half full, looking at things different, that habits are powerful. You talk about that. You talk about there's no such thing as failure, attitude is everything, all that kind of stuff, right? The positive reinforcement.
Absolutely, yes. As well as, the small decisions that you make, they're really not that small. They grow and they get to be bigger decisions in the long run. Like, you're going to do your homework today. Well, that creates a good outlook for college and things like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Leah, what's the ultimate goal? Is just to reach as many kids as possible, huh?
Yeah, really it is. The ultimate goal is to inspire success within as many teenagers and as many people as possible.
Yeah. Excellent. We love that. Check it out. We're going to introduce you to Dalton Sherman. I'll let you hear a little snippet of this coming up. But if you want to find out more, go to successfoundation.org. This is our daily salute for sure. Leah, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. All right. As I said, Dalton Sherman is worth checking out. This is a kid who's probably going to go on to massive success. Certainly, I think he's going to be a household name. Just his ability to speak is pretty amazing. Here's a little snippet of him addressing a very big group, talking about how the people in the group can help students by just getting involved. Take a listen.
Do you believe in my classmates? Do you believe that every single one of us can graduate ready for college or the workplace? You better, because next week we're all showing up in your school. From you is to believe that we can reach our highest potential.
All right, interesting. The speech that you heard, he was a fifth grader then. This was just a couple of years ago. 10 years old, gave a speech to 20,000 teachers. That speech went viral, and so many hundreds and hundreds of people downloaded it, clicked on it, that whole YouTube thing, and he ended up getting a lot of national publicity. But the key thing here is how confident you can tell he is listening to his voice, and the fact that if there is ever a case for here's a motivational speaker already who is benefiting from this positive reinforcement, who knows where he goes. Who knows where he goes once he gets out of school, graduates school, I think probably some amazing things. A little bit different than what we're seeing with the teenagers, as I mentioned at the top of this, in England. In fact, it's gotten so bad, you heard me say that they're considering, meaning the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, is saying, well, we need to catch these culprits, and we have all this information out there, and this is a problem. So the Brits have summoned the two social networking sites, Facebook and Twitter, as well as Research in Motion, they make the BlackBerry, to try to figure out their roles during these outbreaks, what they can do. And he's saying this is killing them, because obviously the information can be used for good, but it's being used for violence. And that's what's happening, and we've got to figure out a way to stop them. They're trying to figure out how, because they're communicating so quickly, so rapidly. As I said, they'll be in one burb somewhere outside of London, and then the police show up, and then they Twitter other people or go through the Facebook sites and end up someplace else where they know they're free to loot and roam and smash windows and do all that sort of stuff. And they're going to have these meetings with those three companies, they say, in the next couple of weeks, because clearly the UK rioters, who are mostly young people who fall into that category of 12, 13, 14, 15, and a little bit older. Heck, there might be younger people. So they're using that BlackBerry Messenger, because it's free, right? They've got that instant messaging deal, and that's what the teenagers prefer there, but they're also using the two other social media forms as well. So what can they do? Research in Motion's inside BlackBerry blog, they say, was hacked, and that was after the Canadian smartphone maker suggested it would be they would cooperate with London police to help identify the people who use the BlackBerry, so then it got hacked. You know, there are people that are automatically, of course, objecting to what Cameron's saying, because, you know, there's your whole free speech thing. Now you're interrupting the flow of free speech. So if the government cracks down on telephone use or people talking about unrest, they're saying, you know, what if social media didn't exist? So wouldn't that really be the same thing? I disagree, because really what's happening is it's been an avalanche of social media, and it is definitely being used to coordinate where nobody is. So you can say, listen, free building, let's set it on fire. No one's around. I mean, that's what they're doing. So I don't blame Cameron for that. I think this is a tough situation to maneuver, because of the free speech aspect of it, where, you know, how far is too far. And, you know, always, if you listen to me, I'm not into the Big Brother. If anything, I'm for the Tom Jefferson smaller government. Not that I would tell the Brits what to do, of course. So they're in trouble, because unlike the young person you just heard speaking, these are young people who are lost in the sauce, and they're in the streets. I think they should just do curfews and bans, just try to do what they can to try to stop them there, if they can figure out a way, temporarily anyway, because I don't know that they're going to be able to come up with a good strategy through Facebook or Twitter or any of that, or the BlackBerry route. I don't think so. Too bad. Oh, well, we know there's some great teenagers, and we were just talking about it. I hope that there are programs like that available to many of you listening who might have teenagers that can be used to encourage them to really apply themselves, think positively, and, you know, who knows what they can accomplish. Next up, Iowa.
Iowa.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
The former governor of Minnesota came out swinging. Michelle Bachmann was on the attack. Mitt Romney was heckled heading into the day. Oh, what a debate. A little bit different than the polite conversations they were having in New Hampshire back in June. Hey, everybody. America Tonight, Kate Delaney here at the helm. We're heading to Iowa to get the skinny from our friend Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Kate, I'm great. I'm in the Midwest. It's always great to be here.
No kidding. The people are salt of the earth. I say my favorite, the flyover states, great people. So what was the crowd like for this debate?
Well, unfortunately, Kate, myself and the rest of the press, we were put into sort of an auxiliary space, not in the Stevens Auditorium where the actual debate was. We're in the Hilton Coliseum, which is, I guess, adjacent to it. So we weren't actually in the room. But I think it was a pretty energized crowd, judging from the amount of applause that you heard during the debate. I mean, I think there was more reaction from the crowd this time around than there was in New Hampshire back in June. And I think one of the reasons for that is there were some more sparks this time around, whereas last debate, most of the candidates played it safe. They went after President Obama, but they really didn't go after each other. There was a lot of bickering back and forth, this time between the candidates, notably between Michelle Bachmann and Tim Pawlenty. Those two had a couple memorable exchanges, hitting each other over their records. Pawlenty when he was governor of Minnesota, and Pawlenty criticized Bachmann for, you know, her lack of experience and that sort of thing. So I thought that helped generate some excitement from the crowd. You had Ron Paul supporters come out, and he got a lot of buzz and applause, some of the things he said, and so overall the atmosphere was high energy, more so than last time.
Yeah, that's what I would say, the same thing. I love it, though, the media in the cheap seats. You got to love that, Jeff. You get the cheap seats.
We're the scoundrels. You got to put us somewhere. So.
Yeah, exactly. They needed room. That's why they had such a big crowd. So you talked about this. Pawlenty really came out. I said this came out on the offense. Do you think he picks up a little bit of a bounce from this? Because he kind of had to he had to show some teeth. He had to show he had a spine based on what happened, I think, last time in New Hampshire, don't you?
Exactly, Kate. I think he really, this was make or break for him. He had to show a national audience that he's a fighter. And I thought that he scrapped a little bit, and in the end, I think he gave himself a little bit of a bounce. We'll see how it reflects when the next round of polling comes out, and his latest poll results have been dismal. So, I mean, he can't really go down a whole lot. So, I think he helped himself out a little bit. I think Bachmann took a little bit of a hit. I think she came out of the gate just storming. She had a couple great lines about making President Obama one-term president. She stuck to her guns in terms of touting her record as being against President Obama, as voting to repeal the things that he's passed, namely the health care law as well as the Wall Street reform law. But Pawlenty was able to, I think, bring her down a notch when he went after her for supporting his cigarette tax that he signed off on as governor of Minnesota. They got into sort of a war of words over that, but I think that people who just were casually paying attention to the debate gave Pawlenty the point on that one. So I think that Pawlenty has more work to do. He helped himself a little bit tonight. I think the big winner tonight, and I said this in New Hampshire, I think it's Mitt Romney. I think Romney, you alluded to the crazy day that he had. He obviously was heckled at an appearance at the fairgrounds, and he had sort of a minor rhetorical gaffe when he said corporations are people. I don't think that's exactly what he meant. Nonetheless, that's a soundbite that you're going to hear used against him a lot as the weeks and months go on. But I think that Romney in tonight's debate stayed above the fray, and I think that, you know, he was given an opportunity to go after Bachmann and Pawlenty, and he sort of passed. And some people might, take that as a sign of weakness. I look at that as something presidential. He knows that he's the front runner, and he doesn't want to get bogged down with the lower tier candidates. And I think that, he's still the front runner after tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think it's Romney all the way, even though Bachmann tried to take his legs out on health care. And you mentioned how he handled the people being heckled at the fairgrounds and all that sort of stuff. He still is ahead in the polls, even with this whole Rick Perry thing. What about that? What about I call it the sideshow, because now you got the Rick Perry deal going on, and he's going to officially announce. And then Sarah Palin, the bus tour thing and all of that. How did that take up a lot of space? Was there a lot of conversation, even among all the media that was there?
Oh, there's a ton of buzz, Kate, about Rick Perry. It's all anybody can talk about tonight. And, I mean, the bottom line is he's going to announce this weekend. He's going to make it official, and he's not going to be in Iowa. And so that presents a very interesting dynamic because, you know, all the attention this week was supposed to be generated out of Ames and Des Moines with the debate tonight and the straw poll on Saturday. And Rick Perry has essentially sucked a lot of energy out of the state by being elsewhere when he makes his announcement. And part of it's, you know, strategic. I mean, he wants to be in the headlines Sunday morning, when all the other candidates who have been in Iowa will be in the headlines, and that's one way to do it, is announce your campaign on Saturday. And right now, Rick Perry, the country, I think, is slowly learning more about Rick Perry. I mean, voters in Texas obviously know a whole lot about him. He's the longest tenured governor currently out there, consecutively, I should say. Terry Branstad, actually, the governor of Iowa, is the longest tenured at this point. But still, Perry has a lot of work to do in terms of introducing himself on a national scale. But more and more is coming out, but there's still a lot of unknown. And so I think that he is sort of like the darling pick right now. He's filling a vacuum that's been created by the absence of a Haley Barbour and a Chris Christie and other candidates who were maybes, but then ultimately decided against running. And now people are looking at the GOP field, and they're looking at tonight's debate and all the candidates and saying, yeah, Romney's the front runner, but I'm not totally sold on him. I want to see what else is out there. And that's why there's so much buzz around Perry, as well as Sarah Palin, who will be in Iowa at some point this week. And we're expecting her to make her mind up sometime in September about what her official plans will be.
Yeah, what about Newt Gingrich? Like, the air has been let out of his balloon, right?
Yeah, and I mean, for Newt, it's more like self-inflicted wounds. I mean, you know, he did not get out of the gate well, and he's yet to really regain momentum. Obviously, he took a huge blow when a ton of his campaign staffers quit on him, and that came up tonight in the debate, and he was asked about that. And, you know, I a little side point here. I thought the questions in tonight's debate were very pointed and very good questions. I think a lot of people out there, folks on the Democratic side, were worried that these guys were going to get a pass because it was Fox News hosting the debate. But I thought they did a very good job, as well as the Washington Examiner correspondents Byron York and Susan Ferreggio. They really grilled the candidates, and they brought up they had some awkward moments out there. In fact, there was one great exchange between Chris Wallace and Newt Gingrich, where Chris Wallace brought up the question about, you know, Newt Gingrich's campaign staff putting on him, and Newt Gingrich said, you know, I'm tired of the media playing Mickey Mouse games. Basically saying that that's a non-story, and Wallace, you know, that confronted him and said that is a big story. And frankly, in my opinion, it is a story, and Gingrich's response to that was, well, you know, Reagan's staff put on him and John McCain's staff put on him, and those guys both went on to do pretty well, so I'm not too worried about my situation. But I think deep down, everybody knows that Newt's in really, really bad shape right now. He's got a lot of work to do. I don't think he's a viable candidate to win the nomination at this point.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. One last one, a quick one. Just let's handicap this because you and I are sports fans. Who do you think wins in Ames, the straw poll over the weekend? What do you think, Ron Paul, Romney, who?
Well, you can't say Romney because he's taken himself out of the running on the straw poll, which makes it really interesting. It's going to be wide open. I mean, you could have a situation where the top two candidates aren't even on the ballot. I'm alluding to Romney and Rick Perry. I think Boxman probably wins. I'd be shocked. If he finishes below the top two, I would be absolutely shocked, and I think that that's going to be a huge blow to her campaign. Not that the straw poll is, you know, the most accurate 100% bellwether of what's to come, but it's still, you know, for people that live in Iowa, I mean, they put a lot of pride into this straw poll. It's a big event. It's a feature event for them. You know, so I think that Boxman has got to be considered the favorite. Valenti is clearly positioning himself to poll well and to do well in Iowa. I look for him to finish in the top three. Ron Paul is another guy who I think could make a surprise run at the top. You know, for in terms of the straw poll results,
yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if Ron Paul wins it. Paul has, you know, obviously, you know, a large contingency of supporters who follow him around. I wouldn't be surprised. But Bachman is my pick to win, and you know, I'm going with her.
All right, my pick is Ron Paul, so we'll see.
Kate, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. And one other note, tonight was the sort of the coming out party for John Huntsman, the former Utah governor and then ambassador to China under President Obama. He was in the debate tonight, and I think that, you know, he didn't really do a whole lot to get a lot of buzz going around him. I don't think people are really going to be talking about John Huntsman tomorrow in the most glowing of terms. I don't think he is now a major player to be reckoned with. He's still got a lot of work to do. He had some decent answers, but he got hit on one question, and that is the lack of an economic plan that he's put out. And he said, you know, look at my record as governor of Utah. You know, we had growth in the state. We had a good jobs record. But I think at this point you have to have a clear-cut plan to grow the economy. Huntsman doesn't have one. I think that hurt him tonight. Otherwise, I think he did okay. But he came into this kind of late. This is his first debate. Not a lot of people are familiar with him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's got, you know.
Yeah, he's stuck. He's stuck. Jeff, we're out of time. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News. Thank you.